call, but on the audience end. So also, I'm in Mary Jo's downline. I've been working with her for 4 years. It's a pleasure to be hosting. The title of the outline that I originally made was Solving the Number One Problem in Network Marketing. And the reason I chose that title is because in the last 2.5, coming up on 3 years that I have been working this as a business and working with some downline leaders and even hobbyists, what I have realized is it's not so much that people don't know what to do, there's just a lot of system trouble and a lot of perceived obstacles. And so at the top of the outline, if you have that this morning, I wrote down warning. There is nothing complicated in this outline, only the simple truth that is so easy to avoid. And remember, successful people do daily what less successful people do only occasionally. So let me back up a minute and kind of give you guys some background for how this extremely simple system came into being. I'm not even pretending this is a complicated thing, but you know what? It's usually the little things that get in the way. And so when you can get clear, when you can get focused, when you can get a lot of clarity about what it is that's going to drive you forward, then you only have choice standing in the way of you and success. So I think it was right after the cruise, or not, yeah, whatever it was, Alaskan cruise, what incentive? We're in too many incentives right now, incentive programs. But at the end of that period, I was really moving along to get the points, to win the cruise. Prospecting was in high gear. But what I was frustrated with was, I don't know if anyone else had the experience of the incentive period where there was a lot of procrastinating and frustration in the first few business periods, couldn't quite seem to get in the groove. Did anybody else have that experience? Where you feel like you can't quite get going in your prospecting sometimes?
Sure.
Probably. Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, yeah, at the time?
Yeah, yeah. So and that's why it can be a good thing where the incentive periods are 3 or more business periods, because sometimes it seems to take some of us a business period to get off the dime. And we'll talk about more about that later, because certainly we want to develop ourselves to the point where prospecting is like, in this business, is like inhaling and exhaling. So it's not about ever finding the groove, but staying in the groove. But anyway, coming back to the how we developed this, I was in the shower one morning. We're going to talk more about showering later. But so I was in the shower one morning, and I was really just, I'm a praying person. I've always prayed over my business. That's how I found Manatech, was praying about my son who was sick and finding an answer. And I was just praying, going, Lord, help me, for me, figure out a way to become more effective with how I use my time and more commitment around prospecting. And basically what I felt like I heard the Lord say to me was this whole concept of 525. If you need to mute yourself, just hit *6, and we won't be able to hear you talking. Okay, so I'm in the shower, and I feel like I hear the Lord say just 3 numbers, 525. And the first thing you need to understand about this is the numbers are not important. It can be 111, 10, 10, 10. For me, I chose 525. And I'm going to tell you, and we'll expand more on it later, that I don't recommend choosing numbers that are large when you first get started. But before we get into that, let me just explain how I got there. So I hear the Lord saying, you know, Carrie, you know what to do. You're not always doing what you know to do because you're so easily distracted and moved off your fundamental, you know, course of action moving you forward with prospecting. So that what I really want you to do is, first things first, I want you to pick, you know, 5 people every day that are active in your hopper. Or if your hopper, meaning your prospecting pool, is running low, I want you to call 5 people that are brand new. But I want you to, every day, Monday to Friday, which are the days I work, if you're only working part-time, maybe Tuesday, Thursdays for 2 hours, it would be those days. Every day that you're open for business with Manatech, I want you to pick 5 active prospects. Then I want you to pick 2 people to follow up with, because we all know if you're calling 5 prospects every day you're open, you're going to be enrolling people and you're going to need to follow up with them. We'll talk more about that later. Then I want you to pick 5 people that you can reactivate. So, and I'll talk more about this in a minute, but the whole concept was I want you to get yourself organized, run through these calls, and then deal with, you know, correspondence and special projects and this and that. So let me come back up here to the top of the outline, many perceived obstacles. anytime I hit a place of frustration in prospecting and in network marketing, these are some of the questions that will go through my head. The longer you've been in Manitech successfully, they're going to be different kinds of questions. But when I'm training new people, you know, usually people start out very enthusiastic, and then, you know, whether it's the second business period or the 12th business period, eventually you'll hear these questions from your leaders. You know, how do you find contacts? When do you approach them? What do you say to them? What do you give them? When do you call them back? What do I say when they say it costs too much? You know, what DVDs? I get asked this all the time. Well, what pack? What do you use in your pack? What do you tell people when they have cancer? You know, how do I get referrals? How do I get them on auto order? How do I, you know, choose which pack? You know, there's so many questions that people think if I knew the answer to that, I could move my business forward. And I'll tell you, in the beginning, guys, there's a learning curve. We all know that, whether you've been doing this business a week or, you know, 10 years. There's a learning curve, so there's a place for these questions. But a lot of times what happens, especially right before Manifest, because usually we don't have these questions after Manifest, but right before Manifest, people will be all in their head, you know, I don't know what to give people, or I need a new thing. I need a new DVD or a new way to do this business. And so we think we have these obstacles, but they're perceived obstacles. And I put on the outline whether or not these are obstacles for you will depend more on your values and your belief system than your training. People who are asking these questions, whether they've been in the business period 3 months or 3 years, if you're asking these questions, they need to work on the values and on your belief system. It's information is one thing, but obstacles is a whole different ballgame. So I put on the outline, you know, what do you think your number one perceived obstacle is right now? And if anybody wants to answer that question, feel free to jump in. If you think it's because everybody tells me they cost too much, or I don't know enough people. Anybody want to share what you think your number one obstacle is right now?
I can't do anything the doctor doesn't tell me.
Is that what you're hearing from people?
Yes.
Okay. Hello? So what do you think your obstacle is based on that? How is that an obstacle for you?
Well, they don't have enough belief system to know that they can do things that their doctor doesn't tell them, I guess.
True. And then for you, what kind of shift in your belief system will help you answer people or sort or do whatever? How do you get beyond getting stuck when people tell you that? Do you know?
No.
Well, I totally appreciate you being willing to share that, because I think that is absolutely, I don't think it's one I put on there, but that's absolutely something that people get stuck in, and they'll say, I just keep hitting a bunch of people who, you know, won't do anything that their doctor doesn't tell them to do. Now, there are things that we can say that often will, you know, there are questions we can ask to help people get beyond that. One of them I like to say is, you know, does your doctor give you any kind of food restriction? Are you on any kind of diet restrictions? And they'll say, what do you mean? Well, can you eat broccoli, bananas, peaches? Yeah. Well, this is food. And, you know, whether or not you choose to take this for, you know, the concus or the bonkus that your doctor's talking about, or just to get better food in your diet to support your body, you know, you can help people look at it that way. But the issue really is usually not what they're saying it is. But in a pretty strong beep in the background. If you can star 6, if you think that might be your phone. We don't have it yet. Perhaps a cell phone, if you're on a cell phone, star 6.
Yeah, it was somebody who just got on.
I don't want to star 5 everybody out, but that's going to be hard to talk over.
Hmm?
Can you guys hear me okay?
Oh, it just went out.
Oh, good. Thank you. All right. So, there it is. Okay. All right. So, we all have obstacles. That is clearly one that people bump up against. The other thing that, you know, there's an obstacle, but then there's the whole, how do I use my values and my beliefs to get around this? One thing that I consider when I hit something like that is I'm sorting. If asking them a couple questions about how is it working for you, what your doctor is saying, is your doctor open to information, are you on a food-restricted diet, does it make sense to you to eat differently to support what your doctor's trying to do, if I can't get around it with asking them questions, because sometimes it's really a money thing. You know, maybe their Lipitor copay is $10, and what you're asking them to do is $80, but they'll say, I can't do anything that my doctor doesn't tell me to do, and it really has to do with money. So you want to ask questions. But if that truly is an obstacle for them, then sort, you know, would you like me to check back with you in 3 months, or would you like me to close your file? So the thing is if they have an obstacle, that doesn't have to be your obstacle. So we're kind of getting off track there, but it's great, great comment. I appreciate you saying that. The number one problem I really think most people have in network marketing as business builders is relatively simple, and I put the foundation of the problem there in the outline. It's rooted in the belief system, what we believe to be true about ourselves and this opportunity. And one of the things I see happen a lot is people get stuck with people who wouldn't come into the business if Mary Jo or Jed or Sam Castor talked to them. You just need to sort them out of the way. Put them in your pipeline, put them on your drip list, send them a man a mail or an occasional letter, or drop them all together and move on to somebody who is open to moving forward with this. We're not in the business of convincing people. We're in the business of finding people who will do something with this revelation once they get it. So at first glance, number one problem for most people, we don't prospect enough. So I wanted to say the foundation of the problem is your values and the belief system. But then at first glance, what most of us need to be working on is we simply do not put enough people through our prospecting system. You know, we talk to 4 people, maybe one of them's thinking about it, the other 3 say no, and we think either network marketing doesn't work or we're not right for this business. And simply the truth is that your numbers never gave you a chance. You are not going to determine if you're effective at something by 4 conversations with people, especially when you're new. And that's why it's great that God gave us so much enthusiasm in the beginning, because it helps most of us get past the first 4 no's. But, so number one problem, we're not prospecting enough. I think most people will agree with that statement. I have one gentleman in my downline who is a master prospector, does put enough numbers through, but most of us, myself included, I really have to stretch to get enough people through my prospecting system. By the way, we can hear you talking, so go ahead and *6 if you're having a background conversation. Thank you. Okay, so why is this the number one problem? Number one, these are just 4 theories that I have, and we'll get to the actual prospecting system in a minute, but I think it's important to look at these. Number one theory, true versus opposing values. If you have values that you say you have, like, you know, I value love, and I value courage, I value honesty and commitment, but if you spend most of your workday in fear, lack of commitment, procrastinating, you know, if you spend most of your workday in your opposing values, then, of course, that's going to affect your prospecting. Number two, lack of clarity. I put in parentheses, cyclical confusion, avoidance. If you have a lot of procrastination, which is really just a fancy word for resistance, you're not clear, but you're choosing not to be clear, which is what I think this system, I think you get a lot of benefit out of clarity. You can still choose to avoid and resist prospecting, but you'll be totally clear about what you're doing. Number three, lack of user-friendly system or model to follow. For me, 525 has become a user-friendly system for me to follow. I can choose not to prospect if I choose to get busy helping another leader, or I choose to get busy researching, but I do have a user-friendly system to follow that I choose into on a daily basis, and it's been fantastic for me. Number four, lack of quality support or accountability. That is something that most people need in network marketing. If you think about it in the corporate world, or even for most of us, like myself, I was in the corporate world and then I was a stay-at-home mom, there I still had the accountability if my husband came home at night to see if the children were alive. You know, I mean, there's still someone monitoring how well you're doing your job. Did the laundry get done? Are the children happy? Is the house relatively clean? Is there a hot meal on the table? And, of course, my husband is not a slave driver in the least. But the whole point is there's some kind of tracking and accountability for how well I'm doing. There's other girlfriends who are checking in, how is it going with little Jimmy potty training or whatever. But when you're in network marketing, if you don't build in some kind of accountability and tracking, you don't have a support system for yourself. So, and in the corporate world, that's built in with bosses and, you know, reviews, evaluations, promotions, all of that. So quality support and accountability for yourself is another way to really move prospecting forward. And that doesn't have to be someone else in Manatech, and I highly recommend it is not your downline. It can be your upline or it can be someone crossline. I think both of those work really well. So developing number three, the user-friendly system, is this 525 system.
Sherry?
Now we kind of covered.
Can I ask a question and have
May, Heidi.
Yeah, hi, Carrie.
Hey.
I love what you're talking about. Say, I just would like you to clarify the comment you just made, because I think it's really important. Why is it so important that we're supposed to be being accountable to cross-line and up-line and not down-line?
Oh, absolutely. Thank you. I should flesh that comment out. Well, let me give you an example. One of my very good friends was the first business builder I signed up. She is a fantastic prospector, a great nurturer, a fantastic leader. As a matter of fact, when she came in a record amount of time, she knew the comp plan backwards and forwards better than I did, a little intimidating for me. Top-notch business builder. She's also a very good friend of mine. Our children were born at the same time, went to the same church, and then I moved away and found Manatech Calder in California and said, hey, do this with me. Now, it is tempting for me to have her hold me accountable. It is tempting for me when I'm having a tough day to call her because she's a friend. And we do spend at least half or more of our time talking about stuff outside of Manatech, because that's healthy too. But the point is, if I get frustrated that Manatech is sending us to Cancun two out of 3 years, Manatech's incentive is Cancun. Well, I wasn't thrilled. I love Cancun, but I'd already been there. But I'm not going to call up my downline and whine about that, because I really think that's defiling. It's contaminating them. If I want to complain about, I don't like the new advanced amber toast a couple years ago, I love it now, or, I don't want to go to Cancun 2 years in a row, not big things, but little things where I feel like I need to vent or whine, I don't want to contaminate the very people I'm trying to build up. It is, it may feel like you're developing intimacy with those people, but really what you're doing is taking something negative off of you and you're putting it onto them, and it's not fair for them. Same reason why you probably don't want to vent to your children. If go find a friend or your spouse, but don't go down the line when you're doing that. I think it's defeating. And especially if you already struggle with being a negative person, you really don't want to do that. So go to your upline and be a blessing while you're doing that. What's that? Was that helpful? Did that clarify, Heidi?
Yeah, that was great. Thanks a lot, Carrie.
Yeah. And, Heidi is a great example of a crossline who's a friend of mine who is absolutely on my short list of people who, if I needed to talk something through but I didn't want it to go to my downline because I was afraid I might be negative or I needed to clarify something before I'm sure, it's a crossline friend that I would call. So, good.
Thanks, Gary.
All right. Yeah, my pleasure, Heidi. The 525 system. I really want to make a huge statement. I'm going to say it several times on this call. The most important thing is that you make the numbers your own. What I heard in the shower that day is I'm having a conversation with the Lord. I don't hear audible voices, but it's just a conversation in my heart. I'm a praying person. I felt like the Lord said 525. And I'll tell you, I started off with 525, which I'll go into more details about what those numbers are in a minute. And I had to back up and do 211. So know that as I explain this. Okay, the first number is the active prospects that you call, every day that you're open for business. These can be brand new contacts. They can be active contacts that you're making a second or third call for, from the last 1 to 3 weeks. An active prospect is not somebody that you met at a health fair 3 months ago that you've left 3 messages for and they haven't responded. That is not an active prospect. That is somebody that I would maybe call one more time, or I like to mix it up. If they haven't responded to 2 voicemails, I'll email or I'll send a new slick in the mail. Usually on a third contact, if I don't hear from people, then they may get a man of mail from me, or I may call them in 4 to 6 months, but they're off my active prospect list, depending on how great the conversation was I had with them the first time. So, again, you put people in the pipeline and you find ways to reach out to them, but an active prospect is somebody that you have a reasonable expectation of enrolling in the next 3 to 4 weeks. So if this is somebody from 4 months ago, they don't qualify. And what you may find out when you step into 525 is you don't have enough people in your hopper, and that's okay. your numbers can be small in the beginning, because obviously if you only have five people in your hopper and you're working 3 days this week, you're not going to call all five of them all 3 days. So your numbers would go, you know, maybe you call all five of them the first day, and then you know before the next day you're open for business, you need to pull five people off your warm list, go next door and talk to your neighbor, the lady at church that's been asking you a little bit, maybe you need to call her on the phone, get some more people in your hopper. So the first number is active prospects called, and you can see on the document that the at the top, you know, first daily action steps, the first one is prospecting calls. And there's 10 numbers listed there. The vast majority of you are not going to call 10 a day. But for the few that will, I went ahead and put, you know, 10 numbers there. Because if you, you know, if you get a Jet in your downline or a Mary Jo or a person like Heidi, you want to make sure you've got some numbers there to not tell them, oh, I can only call five people a day. But for somebody who's just starting out, you may want to tell them, don't you call 10 people before. You know, you guys know what to do with your leaders. You know what will inspire them and motivate them, but there are people out there who will get overwhelmed when you hand them a sheet and you don't explain to them. They don't have to fill in every line. Does that make sense? I hope that makes sense for you guys.
Yeah,
so
very much.
First, and I'm probably going to stay away from the sheet until I explain it conceptually, and then we'll go to the sheet because that's probably a little overwhelming. So that is the first number. Those are the first people you call. These are brand new or active or, you know, people who are excited, recent. Second number is follow-up calls to those that you've already enrolled. Now, I'm going to make another statement. It's a generalized statement. It's not true of everyone. Most of us do not follow up with people adequately or don't follow up at all. So this is a great system to support you in making follow-up calls every day you're open for business. I work 5 days a week, so if you hear me saying 5 days and you work 2 days, don't think I just promoted you to a five-day work week. You can, you know, transfer this to your own situation. But there could be people that you enrolled during the cruise incentive period in January, February, March, et cetera, that you haven't talked to in a month or two. This is a great way to realize, hey, if I'm going to be making one or two follow-up calls a day, I'm about to boost my retention. Fantastic. Number three, the third number, and this, oh, let me back up. This might be people that you are doing your, you know, if this is a Monday morning and you enrolled them last Wednesday, you could be calling them and say, hey, Susie, just want to make sure you got your box of products. Great. Have you opened it up? Super. Did you get my paperwork telling you how much to take? Great. Any questions so far? Have you opened the Fidelo? Whatever. That can be, that's a follow-up call, guys. Somebody that you enrolled 9 months ago that you haven't talked to in 6 months, put them on here. That's a follow-up call. So if you have questions about follow-up procedure, Mary Jo, just go to manatrain.net and you can look at her follow-up system. It's one of her Monday training calls, I believe, was on follow-up. Okay, the third number, reactivation calls. For those who have recently terminated auto order who may have terminated auto order 6 months ago, or these may be people that never got on auto order. And of course, you know, if you're going to be successful in Manatech, you got to master the automatic order. I mean, that's the first thing after you explain how to sign up people in terms of choosing a pack. The very next thing you need to teach your leaders is how to get people on auto order. It is the bread and butter of the business, but the bigger picture is if they don't get on auto order, the whole mission collapses. Because if they're not on auto order, statistically, we know the likelihood that they're going to continue on the products is slim to none, and isn't that why we're doing this in the first place? So if you have issues about auto order, you need to go after that at 11:01 when we get off the call and really build yourself up in your belief in auto order. And there's, again, on manatrain.net, Mary Jo did a training call last year on automatic orders that will help you with that. Okay, so what I chose was 525. And but again, as you can see here, you can customize this formula for any size business plan. If you're only going to work an hour a day, maybe it's 211 or 123 or whatever you want it to be, but it's the numbers that work for you. Obviously, the big picture here is every day you're open for business, you're on the phone. And it doesn't happen. I know, I've been doing this business almost 3 years. I know that every day I was not getting on the phone and prospecting. And I, you know, I'm an executive director. I'm making a good amount of money. I'm very happy with. But I know in order to get to presidential, the prospecting has to come up, and I'm committed to that. For those people who are wanting to work 15 hours a week, especially those who are trying to move themselves out of the current job, hit a new leadership level, they blitz. Obviously, something more like 10-3-10 would be more appropriate. Some people will say they only want to do the first two numbers. They don't want to do reactivations because some people want to start off, okay, you know, this week I'm going to put people in my hopper and I'm going to make my five and my two calls, my active process and my follow-up, but reactivation, I'm kind of going to just, you know, do that all at once. So, you know, for a while, like this week and next week, or next week in particular, this week I'm still prospecting quite a bit, but next week my bottom number is going to be larger because I'm about to send out a bunch of reactivation letters. So next week I'm probably going to be more like, you know, 5 to 30 because I'm going to be on the phone, you know, following up with these 200 letters that are going out going, hey, you know, at one time you made a decision, we haven't seen you on the product, so can you tell me a little bit about your experience? Very non-threatening relationship-building phone call. Obviously, the majority of people do not reactivate, but if you can get between 10 and 30% of people to get back on automatic order, that is like the most valuable hour of your time to call those people. And you know what my experience, the first time I did reactivation calls about 3 years ago, was even if they don't enroll, you just bless them. I mean, think about it. You know, when you go down to Best Buy and buy, you know, a dishwasher, does anybody call you 6 months later and say, hey, you bought that dishwasher, how you doing? Tell me, how's it going? Is it washing your dish? Nobody does that. So in the whole sales industry, you just set yourself apart. You know, set you just a leg up that you're the kind of person that notices that you're not still on the products, and I just want to see, you know, was there a problem? You know, can you share your experience with me? As I work with other people, I want to be more effective. And they may say, you know what, we just didn't see results. Well, what were you taking? Well, we were taking a half these numbers. Were you taking it every day? Were you consistent? You know, you can lovingly talk to people about their experience, and even if they don't get back on the products, you can help them put the responsibility where it lies. It's not that Amber Toast doesn't work. It's that, you know what, we were only willing to pay for it for 2 or 3 months. And I'll say, you know what, if you ever are willing to give it a 4 to 6 month shot, and maybe we only do the Amber Toast, we don't take the vitamins and the other stuff, call me up, because you know what, I have seen dramatic things with people, you know, with situations just like yours, and I would love for you guys to be enjoying that kind of help. So if you hit a place where you're really ready to move on that, you know, give me a call. Hey, would you like my monthly newsletter in the meantime, my free monthly newsletter? There is a way to do that with people that is that will build them up. Any questions about that before I move on?
Carrie?
Yeah.
When you do that reactivation call, have you sent the letter out prior to the call?
Yes.
Okay.
The first time I did it 3 years ago, I didn't send a letter. It didn't occur to me to do that.
Right.
I just pulled out my genealogy and I called all the people. I enrolled, like, me and Mary Jo together, I enrolled, like, 25 people my second month in, and I won the very first Alaskan cruise. I basically never followed up with those people. I mean, I did like the 2-week call and maybe the 30-day call, and then they never heard from me again. So like 18 months later, I'm calling them. I didn't know to send a letter first. I just called them up and said, hey, I'm sorry that I didn't know what I was doing, and I was kind of embarrassed, but hey, I want to know, how did it go? And I didn't reactivate any of them.
You find the letter prior is more effective than just a cold call?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Could you email out a copy of an example of a letter that you would send?
You know what? If you want a copy of that, my suggestion would be to inquire to Lydia to email.
Okay.
I believe that I don't know how accessible that whole situation is, but
okay.
She'll let you know. Yeah.
Thanks.
Uh-huh. But I do believe that a reactivation letter does set it up well, because the letter is, you know, you can say whatever you want to say, but the whole concept
is just... Mary Jo sent something out on the diamond thing about a month ago for the reactivation.
Yeah, I thought she sent it out about a month ago, a copy of it. But guys, even if you don't have that or don't have access to it, if your whole paradigm is... I want them to know that I'm willing to support them, I want to know what happened, and I'm going to give them a call, write a letter around that, and you can't lose. If you're seeking to understand them before you're trying to resell them, you will have great success in reactivation.
Gary,
so.
This is John Rollins. What's the time interval between the reactivation letter and the actual call that you're using?
Typically, what we're doing right now is we're sending the letter out like on a Friday, and if they're local to you, we're on the phone by Tuesday. I mean, I'm basically giving them about 3 days.
Right.
And what I like is I like to send the letter like on a Thursday or Friday, thinking people are more likely to go through their mail on the weekend, and then I hit the phones like Tuesday to Friday.
Very good.
So know that you're going to get a lot of voicemails, and a second time through for those that you get voicemails is a great investment in your own. If you're going to go to the trouble of sending a letter and making a call, call them back. If you know two messages, I wouldn't bother after that probably, and you maybe call them again in 6 months, but the whole concept is not a big turnaround. I mean, there are people who have called a week and a half after they sent the letter and they still reactivated them, but I think putting your best foot forward is you let them have the letter in a day and then you're on the phone. And vary your times. If you're in, if you enrolled these people, you're more apt to know if they work during the day and you need to call at 7 o'clock at night or Saturday at 11. But I'm calling most of the people, just a second, most of the people I'm calling next week, I did not personally enroll. They're my downline leaders. Yes, go ahead. What's your question?
You leave a message on the voicemail or do you just hang up and call back?
I leave a message.
What kind of message do you say?
If I enrolled them, it's a, hey, this is Carrie. Like, hey, Susie, this is Carrie Shepherd. I just wanted to call. I know we haven't talked in a long time, and we've been a little out of touch, but I just wanted to touch base with you. I sent a letter a couple days ago talking to you about where you're at. So give me a call and blah, blah, blah. You know, if I don't hear from you, I'll try you back. Hope you have a great weekend. I mean, I'm just, it's just all about the relationship. And most people are very kind. Every now and then you'll get a curmudgeon who will say, you know, well, they were too expensive and they didn't work. And then at that point you just go into question mode. Really, what were you expecting to pay for something like that? Or really, how long were you on the products? You know, what were you expecting to see? If you come at this as a customer service, I want to hear you, most people will want to tell you. And then you know, this isn't about I'm trying to sell them. If, you know, for some people, reactivation is about that. You probably won't be very successful. But if you can sit down at the phone, and for me, it would look like this. Say a little prayer. Lord, help me to understand where these people are so that I can be more effective at serving them, and then get on the phone, and things go very well. There are other people who won't leave a message until the second time because they're going to see if they can't catch them. I typically leave messages just because I think, you know, it may be another 5 days before I get back to them. I already sent the letter. I said I was going to call, so I'm going to go ahead and leave a message. The message can be short. I sent you a letter. I just wanted to touch base with you. I hope you're doing good. You know, that kind of thing. So, Gary, any other questions?
Yeah. This is Heidi again. See, I just wanted to add to that, especially for new people, doing the follow-ups and the reactivation on this, whether they sign up or not, the more information that you can get from them on their condition and why they started taking the products and what happened, that all that information, you should really be open to storing it into your testimonial section in your brain, because undoubtedly you're going to need that kind of information in the future. And some of it, you'll never have heard about it except for the people you're talking with that for reactivation.
True, because some people, unfortunately, stop taking the products because they get better. Doesn't make a lot of sense, but, and those are, you know, the kind of people where you can say, you know, have you thought about just taking a bottle of capsules every month because we want to keep the good health that you fought so hard to get, you know, whatever. And by the way, I do that when people say they're not going to do, well, I don't think I'm ready to make that kind of investment. Well, I don't want to spend that kind of money. Well, I don't know. I usually will say, well, you know what? Are you, you know, why don't you start somewhere? You know, and if you're not going to start, you know, and I talk about the bottle of capsules of Advanced Amber Toast, I get a lot of people on, you know, maybe the auto order is only 39 QV, but you know what? You get six of those people, that's a couple hundred in volume. Just start somewhere. Do something proactive for your health today. And if they're still not willing to do that, I'll say, well, you know what? Whether you get a water filter or you start eating better, it's about starting somewhere. Because that really takes you out of sales mode and into service. And it's you know, it's where you want to be with your values. Okay, let's go ahead. I want to make sure we get through the thanks, everybody. That was great, great comments. Okay, So customize the numbers any way you want. The point is, these are the fundamentals of our business. Anything in life has fundamentals to it in terms of something you want to excel in. Parenting has fundamentals. Sports has fundamentals. Playing the piano, you know, running the keys and learning your chords. And there are, business has fundamentals. And, you know, if you're a stay-at-home mom, your fundamentals, in addition to all the parenting stuff, you know, laundry, making dinner, those are fundamentals. The more you excel at being efficient at your fundamentals, the easier it goes. With your kids, the more consistency is a fundamental. Listening to them is a fundamental. When you identify whatever it is you want to excel in, what the fundamentals are, and you do good at them, and that may look like drills and sometimes kind of boring, but the point is you are shooting for excellence. That's why I said a minute ago, if you have a hard time on auto order, like if you believe the myth that if people see good results, they'll automatically get themselves on auto order, I can tell you right now that that is not true. And I've seen myself and probably half a dozen leaders fizzle out in the business for a season or completely because they had issues with automatic order and they didn't fix that. So don't beat yourself up about it. If you're not good at automatic order, just realize it's a fundamental you haven't developed. You know, if you were in baseball and you were not a good hitter but a great second baseman, you would realize I need to spend extra time at the batting cage. It's the same thing in nanotech. If you're not good at talking to strangers, that's a fundamental that you need to develop. That's all. It's just about renewing your mind to this is the fundamental I need to work on, and how can I develop a system to support me in that? And accountability is part of that, support accountability, not you're in trouble accountability. Okay, so putting it into action. This is the way it is working very well for me. 9 a.m. in the morning is typically where my business day starts. Probably half the time it's at 8 and half the time it's at 9 or 9:30, but let's just say 9 a.m. Business day starts. The first 30 minutes, and it doesn't always take me 30 minutes, I am organizing my day. And by the way, the whole concept of opening bookends and the whole first 30 minutes, last 30 minutes of your business day is off Mary Jo's training CD, 10 Systems to Support Your Business, which you can buy, I think, from her on the manatrain.net website as well as Galactic Tools. Fantastic system. As a matter of fact, I don't know if Eric Hansen's on the call, but executive director from Denton, he told Mary Jo that every new person that he brings in, he likes to get that material to them, Mary Jo's CD about the 10 new business systems. I think it was Eric. If it wasn't, I apologize for getting the details wrong. But I thought, what a great leadership trait that you are investing in your people. I'm not just telling you how to explain Amber Toast, but I want to make sure that you understand how to support yourself with some systems that will help move your business forward. So kudos to people who do stuff like that. So your first 30 minutes, opening bookend, this is where I come in the office, I'm checking my voicemail, I'm checking my email, I'm checking my cell phone messages. And for people like me, I have to do this, otherwise I will forget to check stuff or I will, I mean, you know, some people, this is natural. For me, it had to be a system, okay? So check all of those. I have one of those phone pads, you know, that's triplicate or duplicate, you know, carbon sheets. So I log all my messages there. And, you know, now I'm at 20 minutes left in my first 30 minutes, and I'm going, okay, who could I call and get an answer back quick? Like, they just want to know what's the name of that DVD you told me about, or can you speak on the 7th of August? Those calls are rapid fire, and at the end of the 30 minutes, people I didn't get to or people I knew it was going to be a 10 or 15 minute conversation, I schedule them on my task list for the day after my 525. So the whole concept, that first 30 minutes, is organizing and prioritizing. And there's a few calls that get executed. But you're organizing, okay, this is what, you know, didn't get done yesterday, this is all the calls that came in. Organize, prioritize, get a few of them, a few emails out, quick ones that need an urgent answer. The rest goes on the task list for the day, and that task list goes to the side. Unless someone is bleeding or is in hospice and, you know, we got to overnight, nothing comes before the 525. Why? Because what is going to move my business forward? The fundamentals. And we can't take a show of hands, obviously, but I would wager that most people do not prospect first. And I know that because out of the 20-some-odd leaders and hobbyists I work with on a regular basis, that's not happening. And there's no judgment on that because it was for me, too, which is how this whole system got born. So, you know, you may have somebody who finally called you back, you know, it's a hobbyist and they want to get in Mary Jo's Pathway class and you're all excited, or maybe someone wants to blitz with you to get to Denver for free, you know, a leader, that is not the first call. The first step is 525. So, you know, again, you pull out the little form that we have attached here as a PDF, and you're looking at, okay, who am I going to prospect? You know, who's my, what's, who do I really need to get to, follow-up, reactivation, all of that. The number out on the left is for the number you're committing to. So if it's 211, you can go ahead and fill that in. If it's 525, go ahead and fill that in. So mine, last week, for example, or the week before, some of them looked like, you know, 741, because I, you know, it was a Monday morning, and I did a lot of calls on Thursday, and I got a lot of calls back on Friday, so I had a lot of activity, and I needed to hop on, so I knew my prospecting number was going to be big for that day. But the point is, at my business level, I'm shooting for around 525 every day, but it'll vary. And this, let me make some statements here. This is not your to-do list. Because if your to-do list worked effectively, you wouldn't be looking at the 525 system. So most of us put people on, you know, I need to call them, like, this is my hopper list. And if people that stay on there more than a week, you're usually too chicken to call. So don't put them on here if you're not going to call them. You know, maybe on the back side, put people that by, you know, that next week, I'm putting them on the back side of my 525 sheet to mentally warm myself up to the fact that I'm going to call them next week. Whatever. You know, the greatest thing you could do would be call them first and get the negative energy off yourself. But regardless, you're only putting people on here that you're going to call. You're committed to doing that. And so for me, I'm going to choose 5. I try not to do more than 5 okay, let me back up. What I've found that has worked well in the 3 or 4 weeks that I've been tweaking this is on Monday morning I print out 5 sheets. And I write on the top Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. And they're in a file on my desk. And so if I have, for example, 8 people that I met last week and I got packets out and I know I need to call them back, well, typically those people I already have said what time I'm going to call them back. I get an appointment when I do that. So I'll go ahead, say I have 5 people like that I said I'll call you Tuesday at 4 o'clock and Tuesday at 6 o'clock or whatever. I'll pull out Tuesday's sheet and I'll write them on there. That's already a done deal. But it's Monday morning. I don't have to call those people till Tuesday. I pull out my little hopper box and I go through and go, okay, who can I call? And I fill in names. If I've got, if I'm only going to call 5 that day and I've got 8, then I have a decision to make. And typically what I'm finding works for me is I will put the other 3 on a different day so that I know mentally I'm only calling 5. And when I get done with those 5, if I want to keep going, then I'll start pulling off. You know, if I put them on Wednesday, I'll pull them back and I'll call them on Monday. So what have I done? Now I've gone 150%. Instead of if I put all 8 down and then, you know, for some reason I'm running short on time or I'm feeling overwhelmed or 8 just seem like too much, well, then I failed. And that's not a message you want to send to yourself. So what I did the first day is I filled out 525 and I didn't do it. And I felt horrible. Here, I made up the system. I heard from the Lord in the shower. I didn't even follow my own system. What does it say about me? Maybe I didn't hear from the Lord. You know, it's this whole hilarious conversation in my head. You know, by the way, you're not aware of 90% of the self-talk that goes on. And most of the self-talk that goes on that we're not aware of is probably negative. So you don't want to give yourself more negative self-talk, like she put 8 down and she only called 5. So what I did the second day is I shrunk the numbers. And the second day, I didn't call them all. So now I'm feeling like a big loser. So the third day, I got it, and I put 211, and I did it. And then the next day I put like 3, 2, 1, and I did it. So now I can put 525, and I will do it. Now some of you may be going, this lady is totally weird. How come she couldn't just do 525? Well, if you're asking that question, then great. Go ahead and start with 525. But for those of you who in the past have made a to-do list and not done it, fill out a war planner and not done it, or told someone you were going to call someone and you never did it, don't start too high. There's nothing wrong with starting low and building the belief that you're not going to lie to yourself. Because that's the person that most of us lie to is to ourselves. And that is very defeating in network marketing. So, I just encourage you guys, you know, start small the first day. If you put 222, and in 20 minutes you've done that because you left four messages and you talked to two nice people, then you can say, do I want to go further, or do I just want to, you know, tomorrow I'm going to go 333 or whatever. You decide. You have total freedom about that. But make sure when you're, if you decide to tell some of your leaders about the 525 system, please make sure that you don't, if everybody thinks they got to make 12 calls every day and they're only working 1 hour a day, they're not going to use the system. Okay.
Gary?
Yes.
I'm curious. I believe that you asked for referrals, but you didn't mention.
Yes.
Did you do that in the reactivation calls as well as?
You certainly can. You can ask for them anywhere. I didn't originally put that on the form, and Mary Jo, as she was going over the form with me after I came up with it, she mentioned that, and I thought it was a great idea. And so we stuck it under prospecting, but you can put it wherever you want. And the whole concept is we need to always have before us the reminder that referrals are a great option. Referrals are usually much easier to sign up because you have instant credibility. At one point, up until about December of last year, I would say 70% of my business coming in was referrals. I had developed the ability to ask for referrals, and but more often than not, I think just in offering to help people with their team bonus, that's how I was getting referrals. And 70 to 80% of my business, when I went through my associates enrolled list to do a training call on it this spring, and I was, you know, trying to identify where all my people came from. Because people ask me all the time, where do you get contacts? So I pulled that list and wrote down for the, I don't know, 250, 300 people I've enrolled, I went ahead and wrote down where all of them came in, and the vast majority were referrals. And that may not look like a formal referral, but, you know, basically I found that name through someone else. I may have not called and said, can I have a referral? But when I said, I'll help you get your team bonus, and they went, you know, my Aunt Margaret has a question, can you do a three-way? If they chose not to bring them in, and I did, I still count that as a referral. So do referrals wherever you want. You can do them when you're reactivating. When you're usually for me, referrals happen when I'm following up or when I'm signing someone up. So that's why it's listed where it is. Go ahead.
Quick question on that. Just to clarify for everybody, when you're doing your referrals and say you have somebody that gave you, you know, five of their relatives and three of them decided to sign up, you didn't do a three-way with the person, with their family, or maybe it was their friends or a neighbor or whoever. It really doesn't matter. They gave you those referrals. They signed up. Who are you putting down for the enrollment? And
yeah.
Do you have stipulation on, you know, how to do that?
Yes, I do. But I think regardless of which side of the fence you sit on, the whole crux of the matter is what you determine at the beginning. So there are people in my downline who we don't really agree on who gets the enroller bonus, but as long as they have the conversation up front with whoever's giving referrals, I don't care who takes the bonus. The thing that gets gross and sticky is when you don't determine up front how it's going to go down, and then especially in incentive periods, we like to take the enroller bonus. So, and then we, you know, because we are so desperate to win a cruise, our motives aren't clear, and that's where I've had to call my upline before and go, okay, am I doing this just because I'm in scarcity about cruise points? And Mary Jo go, uh-huh. So, yeah, what I do is if I get somebody who says, you know, I'd really like to share this, or I'd really, you know, sometimes people will even say, I might be interested in doing this as a business. Well, if you've been in this business very long, you know that doesn't necessarily mean anything. What that means is we're now going to have the business conversation. Don't call your upline and go, I just found the greatest new business builder. No, you didn't. You found somebody who the mission of Manatech struck their chord, or they need an extra $300 a month, but that's a long statement, a long way from I have a new business builder. So just get your expectations clear so you're not disappointed or try to drag them across the finish line when they're really not interested in doing this as a business. So, for example, someone in my church in leadership recently said to me, you know, I think I could do this. I'm really excited about this, blah, blah, blah. So, we can hear you talking.
I'm sorry.
Fix yourself. That's okay. So anyway, she said that, and then we started talking about who she was interested in, and one was her mom, one was her brother. Well, you know what? I'm not going to take an enroller bonus on something like that unless the person basically tells me to, even if I help them. But my policy is, I'll just share my policy so we can be quick about this. somebody is interested in something like that, I tell them right up front, look, the way I really like to do this is, you know, we can, I'll give you some information to give them, and you can bring them to a meeting, and we can talk to them together. We can do a three-way, or we can talk to them in person. As long as you shadow me in the process, I would love to give you the enroller bonus. Because I want to train you, and I want you to bless them. So I'll be the expert. You shadow me. You can take all the bonuses. That's the way I prefer to do it. And if they say, well, what does that mean? Does that mean I have to be on the phone with you? Does that mean this and that? And I say, yeah, because the enroller bonus is designed to compensate the person who did the work. It's not like real estate where the first person who finds the prospect, you know, has them. You know, so it's whoever does the work to bring them in. So I tell people, if you want to shadow me, I will tell you what to say. I will do a three-way with you. I'll do all of this, and you can have the enroller bonus. And then I also make sure that they know that there's some follow-up that goes with that. And so, you know, what you'll need to do afterwards is just check on them periodically, and I'll forward you my Mana Mail. You can send that to them, or you can whatever, and let me know if you need me to help you with them in the future. But, you know, that's how you get the enroller bonus. Most of the time, people will say to me, no, actually, I think it is just, I just like to give you their name. Or I'll bring them to the meeting, but you can. Most of the time, people don't want to take on that level of responsibility, and so what it becomes is a great qualifying tool for if you really do have a business builder or not. What I never do is do all the work and give them the enroller bonus unless it is someone who's going to be a massive referral generator for me, like a chiropractor, somebody, you know, I've had a couple other people who were just extremely well-connected, interested in the business, but major time constraints, but they are willing to, I'm talking, when I say massive referral generator, you know, like 15, 20, 30 prospects or more a business period. That's someone I'm going to give enroller bonuses to if they want them. I've also been 50-50 splits, you know, whatever. Does that kind of answer your question?
That's great. Thanks a lot.
Yeah. If you have a downline that calls you up and says, you know, they brought them to the meeting, and then now I'm doing all the work, and they're on vacation, and I'm bringing the person in, they want to come as an offer, don't you think I could take the enroller bonus? No. If you didn't determine that ahead of time, don't cut your person off at the knees. What you can do, though, is tell the person, I need to have a conversation with Sally before we bring you in, so let me call you back, and then get a hold of Sally and work it out. But the rule of thumb is defer to your downline. Defer to your downline on your enroller bonus whenever you can. Okay. So let's move along here. I wanted to give you a big picture, and then I'm going to go rapid fire to try to finish this. And you know, if you can't relate to this analogy, I'm sorry, but I think it's pretty widespread relatability, if that's a word. When you get in the shower in the morning, does anybody out there sit in the shower, let the water run over you, and go, okay, today should I shave first or shampoo? Does anybody do that?
Oh.
No. I mean, half the time, do you even forget when you get out if you have, you know, cream rinsed your hair or shaved or whatever? Because we kind of go into autopilot. You get in, and I don't know about you, but, you know, for me, it's like get the hair away, get the, you know, shampoo going, start washing. It's like almost the same way every time, to the point where I can completely check out and have conversations with God in my shower, like I was telling you guys. It's like I'm evaluating my day, I'm praying, I'm not thinking about the order or how well I'm shaving. I'm just doing it. I don't have energy around it. I'm just doing it. This is what I do when I get in the shower. Well, that is what 525 can do for you, is when you sit down, okay, I'm open for business, the computer goes on, the light goes on, I'm checking phone messages. You know, the first 30 minutes is like this, then it's my 525. Then, when you're done with your 525 or your 311 or your 1027, whatever it is, then you go back and you answer those emails and you, you know, special projects, call your leaders, check on them, you know, see how Success Tracker is. But the first part of your day is to me, that helps. 525 is like getting in the shower and I start with shampoo. I do it every day in basically the same order. Why? Because it takes energy to get in the shower and analyze. I even had a professor in graduate school who had the same sandwich every day for lunch because he didn't want to use energy on determining what he'd have for lunch. That's a little extreme. If that works for you, fine. But for me, if you get in the shower every morning and try to figure out what you're going to do first, that's frustrating. Well, that's the way most of us were approaching our Manatech business. What should I do first? you're overwhelmed. Well, I'll tell you, 525, do your prospecting calls first. So I put reactivation language on the script or on the outline, so I'm not going to go over that. Notes on reactivation, I'm not going to go over that because you guys can read that, but just the point is the reason we avoid reactivation usually is because we are now focusing on ourselves. It's self-protective, so be very clear about that. You were about them when you enrolled them, hopefully, so why are we now all about ourselves and we don't want to call them? It's about integrity, and I put on there, we want to make sure that your integrity outlasts your discomfort. Do whatever you need to do to shift the focus back on them and call them and check on them and ask them. And know right up front, they may not re-enroll, and that's okay. But the picture you have in your mind is, I'm going to reach out to them. And if they choose not to reactivate, you know, and you need to, you know, go give yourself a pep talk or whatever to get back on the phone, that's fine. That's another reason I do reactivation calls last, is because sometimes people don't come in and, you know, you don't want to start your day off with that. Okay. More on the 525 system. 525 has been taking me 1 to 2 hours a day. And so let's say I get a hold of everybody, which doesn't normally happen but would be a huge blessing. It may take 2.5 hours. When it starts taking a long time is when I start answering my phone and checking email between calls. So it is really okay to let a phone ring. You know, back in the days of Leave It to Beaver, they didn't answer the phone during dinner. So we don't have to, you know, we don't have to answer the phone just because it's ringing. And if, you know, it was very stressful to me when I started this. If I had a leader call, then I wanted to, you know, pick up. But if I'm not done with my 525, I don't do that typically. Because, you know, obviously there are cases where I do, but the whole concept is that it is my commitment to the fundamentals. I'm developing myself into a master prospector, and I'm focused. The rest of the business day is open for special projects, correspondence, supporting my people, etc. And what don't you think we're modeling? We are modeling for our people. This is how you develop yourself in this business. The kicker, it has to be done first. You know, if you've heard the concept, eat your frog for breakfast. You have to do that first. So I did also learn this last week. The person that you least want to call should be the first one on your prospect list. Now, there have been times when I put the nicest person on number one and the hardest person on number two because maybe I was already having a rough morning and I wanted to give myself a little vanilla before I really got into the dark chocolate, you know. But whatever works for you, the point is you do the calls. And the rest of the day does line up for the better if you have no resistance. And most people in Manitech resist prospecting over everything else, so it just makes sense. The rest of the day is open. The rest of the day lines up better when we do it. The other thing is, you know, in Kiyosaki's quadrants, if you're familiar with that, you have what is unimportant and urgent, and then you have, well, there's four quadrants, but on the other flip side of that, you have what is not urgent but is important. You know, parenting usually falls in that quadrant. Phones ringing off the hook is usually urgent but not important. So, and I'm making generalization statements, but you have to, again, it's living with your values. You know, when you have 8 calls that need to be returned to leaders, and I'm not down on leader support, please. I mean, anyone who's in my downline knows I'm a very nurturing person usually. But the point is that is... You want to stay away from the urgent stuff and really determine what's most important and do that first. Okay. Let's see. Let me just read the bottom statement. If you should choose not to implement this system or something similar, any kind of prospecting system, you want to ask yourself, what am I doing with all of my Manitech time? Because what I've discovered is without this type of a system, the hours magically disappear with my good intentions. So, I'm going to open it up for feedback, questions, comments.
I have a question. Yeah, you mentioned that the people that you were going to call on your reactivation list, that some of them you didn't enroll personally, they were your downline. Mm-hmm. How do you introduce yourself to them either in your letter or, I mean, if they don't know you or when you call them back up?
That's a good question. I think there's a lot of ways to do it, and I've also, by the way, just kind of these... I've seen it done effectively even though nobody introduced themselves. They just called up, and I know you did the Manitech product. Because sometimes people, So you can be effective even if you don't do anything but send a letter to everybody underneath you. And however, what I have seen be effective is you call your leaders and say, I'm going to do some reactivation, you know, and kind of, you know, talk about it and the benefits of it and everything and how we're going to see GPV come up and all of this other stuff, and then find out if they're ready to do that. If they're interested in doing that but they're not ready, then we don't send letters underneath them. If they are interested and they're ready, then you can help them send their own letter, or I've done it where I had two downline and three of us were doing it together. We did letterhead across the top with all three of our names and addresses, but the person that enrolled them actually is the one who signed the letter at the bottom. So because it said, you know, I or someone on my team will call you in the next week. So all three of us, they could see across the top. Doesn't call me, she will or he will, but it's your name, the enroller. Other people are the one that signed it. Other people, they're not even in the business anymore. So if you know them, you may want to call them and tell them that you're, you know, if they're totally out of the business, I would just call their people. If they're kind of on the fringe, like I have some people like that, I called them and said, I'm going to do reactivation. I'd like to do it with you. And she said, no, thanks. And so then she said, well, hey, out of the 40 people of mine, you're going to call. Let me tell you about these five that you might want to know before you call. But you know what? I don't care if I know anything before I call them because I'm all about asking questions. So in some ways, I don't even want to know that because I don't want to prejudge before I call them. So, but yeah, you can, if they're in the business or on the fringe, the leader needs a call. And then, you know, you can put multiple names on the letter. I just made up a letterhead that had all three of our addresses at the top.
Okay, I have a question.
Yeah.
A while back, there was a memo that with an example of a man-a-male info.
Mm-hmm.
And when I went to open it, there was nothing there. Now, where could I go to get a copy of that?
Of a man-a-mail?
Yes.
Anything like that, I would just email Lydia and ask. Man-a-mail for marriages downline is, I think, only available inside her downline, but there are other man-a-mail groups, or you can start a group, but certainly ask Lydia. I don't have...
Okay.
I wouldn't know how she wants to do that.
All right. Thank you.
The sample that was sent...
Hey, Carrie.
Uh-huh.
It's Lydia. What was the question about the man-a-mail?
It was forwarded, you know, from, like, you or Mary Jo.
We sent you a sample.
Yes, you sent a sample. And when I opened it, it was blank.
It's something with your email, your computer, your either email or computer.
Okay. I will.
They're blocking it somehow.
All right.
Okay.
Okay.
Carrie, you had a question. Say how you would ask somebody who's not enrolled or leader to request reactivation. How would you talk to them?
I'm sorry, I can't really hear your question. There's a lot of interference. Can you say it again?
How would you ask? How would you...
I'm sorry, I can't hear you at all. I'll tell you what, if you email your question to Lydia, she'll forward it to me, but I can't hear you. And if you don't mind, start fixing the interference is really loud on the call. Any other questions?
Not sure if you can hear me.
I can, yeah.
I want to know, what do you do when you have a